So I throw up my hands, embrace you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Well, good morning. Morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. We like to say welcome home. This is your home, whether it's your primary or it's your secondary. We just love to say, hey, welcome home. This is a place of grace, a place where it's okay not to be okay, a place to just relax, and a place that we really just, that God wants to connect with you. And we really are just, you know, part of our job is just to provide the space and for God to just kind of slow us down and talk to us, whether it's in a music or in a message, or just sitting in his wonderful creation. He is here, and he has brought you here. And I really believe he always has a word for us as we come to his presence, or he just wants to put something in us. And so as we gather, we want to recognize that you are a gift from God that's brought you here. And so in your worship folder, there is a connection card. It looks like this, if you could be so kind to fill out the front. And you notice that just a couple new things on there. One, if you would like to get a text information about the weather on Sunday mornings, if sometimes we have to change locations due to rain, luckily not with the fog, but that's here today, but other weather occasion things that happen, we alert you in the morning. Also, you know, just encourage you, looking for a place to grow. I mean, at Holborn Beach Church, our mission is awakening hearts of Jesus every day. But what does that mean? That means at the core of us, we are into people development. We're helping you to develop to be more like Christ. That's at the very core of what we do. In fact, we'll hear about that today a little bit more as our director of ministry, Steve Rice, brings the message. And so with that, I invite you, if you'd like to rise and join in worship together. Now, Father, we had Christmas Day, but the celebration, the fact that you come to us is not over. And the beauty of it is you continue to come, you continue to be our Savior, Christ the Lord, the anointed one, the promised one, the one who fulfilled all the promises and did all that we could not do to give us the great gift of life. And so, Lord, we pray as we come in here into your presence, Father, that you would just light up our hearts and give us your life. I mean, you came, you give life abundant, to lift off the burdens of sin and shame and brokenness, that we may be free to really be following you, to be more like you and restored back into the image that we were created in. So God, we pray and we lean into your presence now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You can sing along with your handouts there. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, O silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. One more time. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning in this beautiful beach and experience your love, your grace, and hear your word. Speak to our hearts this morning. Lift our hearts. And we're grateful for the opportunity to be with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As Pastor said, welcome to Hope. Welcome home. We're glad you're here. And this is a funny time of the year, right? We don't know whether to look backwards and appreciate the year we've had, or start looking forward at what's coming. We always have high hopes for what's coming. I don't think any of you sit on New Year's Eve and think to yourself, man, I hope I get that C word this year. Man, I hope they decide they got to take an organ out of me. No, you're not thinking that way. We're always thinking it's going to be good stuff. It's going to be happy stuff. Blessings are going to flow, and they will. Even in the midst of tough times, blessings flow. But this morning, I'm going to kind of ask you to look forward. We have a lot to be grateful for in the past. It's been a great year at Hope on the Beach. God has richly blessed the work, and so we start to get a little excited about what's coming forward. But I want to talk to you about a word that to many people, it sends them running. They hear it, and they'd be like, oh, Steve-o, that's not me, brother. That word is discipleship. See, look at your faces. Oh. I thought we were going to get something warm and fuzzy. This is warm and fuzzy. The problem is folks misunderstand what it is. When you hear it, doesn't it kind of send a chill down your neck? Like, holy smoke, I'm not one of those people. Discipleship? You got to be kidding me. That's got all kinds of like Bible study in it and telling other people about Jesus. Stats tell us that well over half of Americans don't think it's their job to tell anybody about Jesus. They just, it's not my job. We don't want to offend anybody. Everybody has the right to believe whatever they want to believe. And that is absolutely true. But shouldn't they know the truth? If we know the truth, if the bridge is out, when you want somebody flashing their lights at you to stop you to say, the bridge is out that way. We'd like to warn people. We'd like to let people know. People are looking for truth. They want to know truth. Things they've trusted in throughout their life, they are having experience that it's not working. Don't worry, that's not rain. It's so let me show you how easy this is. Okay? So if you hang with me this morning, I want you to look. In your bulletins, you have the whole sermon. Now don't let those blanks scare you. That's just us showing off. But the truth is going to be very simple. In the opening scripture, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, this is how simple it is. Jesus even said it. You are the light of the world. Now, he didn't say you ought to be. You could be. What did he say? You are. You are. So already you have a position. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You're the light of the world. You're the city on a hill. If Jesus is flowing through you, we can't hide that. We would have to deny him to hide it. If we just let Jesus do what he's going to do, if we just let him have our open heart and we become a vessel, he's going to do what he's going to do. And you're going to be a light. You're going to be a city on a hill. You won't be able to hide your faith. So discipleship is just letting the light shine. Now, the scripture tells us what that looks like. And so the first part of this message is we want to look at what it looks like so that you don't overthink it. Because I know you don't want to go sit in the corner of your house in a robe and moan to yourself. That's not a disciple. I know you don't want to quit having fun. That's not a disciple. When you're a disciple of Christ, you can have the most fun. And you'll remember it. That's worth something. So I want us to look at this. What does it look like? Number one, every Christ follower is a missionary. Now there again, there's a word that sends folks running. Wait a minute, I don't want to go across the sea. I don't want to live with people that I don't even know their language. I'm not a missionary. No, yes, you are a missionary. Because we have the truth. And it's just about spreading the truth. That's all it is. So, every Christ follower is a missionary. Here's how Jesus describes it. Letter A, Jesus describes the kingdom of God as something that grows organically, often unseen, through sowing. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Jesus said, this is so easy. It's just scattering seed, and then you can take a nap. Scatter seed. Go about your business. Do your day. Get up. Go back to bed. Rise. Sleep. Do your day. But as you go through the day, scatter the seed. Just scatter the seed. That's the missionary part. I say it this way to many, many people. All you have to do is get Jesus on the table. That's all. In the conversation. Get him in the conversation. Get him on the table. Just get the seed planted. Because look at letter B. The focus is not on controlling outcomes. It's not up to us. If the folks we're sharing with believe or don't believe, it's not up to me. I don't have to talk you into something. I'm not arm twisting. I don't control outcomes. See, the disciples wanted clarity on timing and power. Jesus redirected them to mission and witness. Or as the disciples always wanted to know, when's the new kingdom come? And Jesus always wanted to say, just talk about it. It doesn't matter when it comes, just talk about it. Let everybody know about it. You see, the mission is not reserved for pastors or missionaries, church planters. Every follower is sent. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a mission. We have a job. And it's easy. We make it hard. And it sounds hard. Even here at Hope, we have what we call a discipleship huddle. You have in your bulletin a postcard. And on one side, if it's not all soggy and wet, on one side, there is the great commandment, and it talks about the discipleship huddle. This is a series I do the teaching, facilitating for this, and it's just to talk about the characteristics of discipleship. It takes us about 6 weeks, an hour a week to get through it. But it prepares us, tells me how I can best be the light. It's not a bunch of memory work. It's not a bunch of new disciplines in your life. It's a deeper look at what I'm about to share with you. The other side of the card talks about the Great Commission and the Missionary Pathway Huddle. This is another series of classes that we talk about how we're sent into the world, where we live, where we work. Not necessarily around the world, although you could be. God knows better than to call me to go anywhere. I'm a freak about that. I do not leave the United States of America. I know some of you are world travelers. My wife would be a world traveler if I'd go. I don't go. I like it right here. And I know there's a lot of world to see, but when I get to heaven, it won't compare to the world we even had. So I don't need to see it. It's going to burn up anyway. It's all right. I'm good. Let's go to number two. Every Christ follower has a mission. So we have a responsibility as believers in Christ. We have something we're supposed to do. And that is the mission we've claimed here at Hope. And that is awakening hearts to Jesus every day. You see, folks need to realize there is a spiritual side to life. And it has to wake up. We are born into our nature, our natural side. We're born into our, what the Bible calls carnal, our carnal side. We're born into the flesh. But even Jesus said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. That means we need to be born again, right? That means we have a change coming. And we need to awaken hearts to their need for that change. For their need to believe what Christ is offering. Our memory verse is Galatians 5:25. Can we say it together? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, as the Holy Spirit indwells us through the grace and mercy of Christ. As the Spirit begins to take up residence in us, we simply walk as He leads. We stay in step. So we don't even have to change. Now people look at me funny when I say that. But you don't have to change. You don't have to. We're not asking you today to say, oh, well, I'm going to be a disciple and put a big D on your chest and look to the sky. No. We're not calling you to be a superhero. We're talking about just being who you are. Just be who you are. The personality God's given you, the interests He's given you, the habits He's given you, the loves He has given you. Just be you. You just let God in you use you to be you for Him. Magic. You're a disciple. You don't need a t-shirt. You don't have to go home and make a bunch of changes, because Christ will change you from the inside. He'll do the changing. You don't have to. So, we keep in step with the Spirit. So here's what our mission looks like. Come on, son. Come on. Here's what our mission looks like. Our mission can be accomplished by being, first of all, a vibrant follower. A vibrant follower walks with Jesus through prayer, scripture, and is led by the Holy Spirit. A vibrant follower is just one who is serious about their faith. Serious about their faith. And I let the faith permeate every part of my life. I hear people give testimony sometimes about how they came to find Jesus, how they experienced Him in their life, how He began to change them. And I hear them testify about He's their whole world. He's their whole world. They start the day in prayer. They read scripture. They talk about Him through the day. They end the day in prayer. Serious about their faith. That the faith has made such a difference in my life that I've got to tell somebody else. Vibrant follower living for Christ. We are also a 2 a.m. friend. You know what that means? That means I'll be there when you need me. Even if it's 2 in the morning. Now we have, as a staff, we have adopted phone call rules, text rules, and I think it's like not before 8. I would have gone for noon, but I was overridden. But a 2 a.m. friend doesn't care when the call comes. Doesn't matter. I'm here for you. I will sacrifice for you. I will do whatever you need me to do. The 2 a.m. friend shows up in need, sacrifices time and comfort, and practices the ministry of presence. Sometimes there isn't anything to say. Sometimes we just have to be. Just there with you. Sometimes it's hold a hand. Sometimes it's don't say anything. Just let them dump. Just listen. Take it in. That's a disciple. Some of you are like that already. You don't even realize that's part of being a disciple. You're just doing what is natural for you. God has just given you a heart for other people. You're practicing discipleship. See, it shouldn't scare you. It's who you are. It's also a courageous life giver. Knowing courage is ordinary obedience fueled by compassion when it is inconvenient. There may be risk and there can be loss of control. Compassion moves them from feeling to action. We're reminded of the Good Samaritan when we think of a courageous life giver. Two other people, clergy, I might add, walked right past the victim, but the Samaritan stopped. And he picked him up, took him to an inn, paid for his stay, paid for his healing, treated him for his wounds. He was giving that man his life back. Inconvenient, expensive, but he did it. Sometimes we're called to help people up. Sometimes they need help to stand. I got dehydrated one time. You ever been that way? I mean, I got dehydrated. It was kind of funny. Only to me. But I got dehydrated. I was kind of sick anyway, and I got out of the bed, and I fell flat to the floor. So I'm on my hands and knees in my back bedroom where my wife couldn't hear me. Judy is losing her hearing. And so the television has to be loud. So I'm there on my hands and knees, and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get up, because I couldn't get up. And yelling for Judy was worthless. She wasn't going to hear me. So I crawl. By now my knees hurt, so I'm flat down doing an army crawl, and I've get to the dress of drawers, the dresser drawer. And I take a drawer and I start banging the drawer. I'm opening and shutting it. Boom, boom. And finally Judy comes in and says, "You need something?" No. I always lay here on the bedroom floor and beat the drawer. Yeah, I need to get up. I can't get up. And later we discovered I was dehydrated. But I needed help to get up. I used to laugh when I was a kid at that commercial. That one. I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah, sometimes folks just need help. They know what to do. They know they shouldn't be where they are, but they need some help. They need a courageous life giver. That's a disciple. It's what we do. And we're also resilient missionary. Means we never quit. We don't quit. We don't get discouraged. Being faithful over time is the mark of a true missionary. They'll face resistance, rejection, and setback, but understand even obstacles can advance the gospel. We don't stop. being on mission. We're resilient. We're always sharing. This comes easier when you realize we're not in charge of the outcome. We're not in charge of the outcome. I've known folks who have gotten bitter and have decided to not witness anymore. They're not going to share anymore because people don't want to hear it. But I promise you, there are people who want to hear it. Somebody doesn't want to hear it. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, I'm going to send you out there. And if the folks in town reject you, what did he tell them to do? Just shake it off. Shake the dirt from your feet and move on. Turns out my dad was right. When you got hit in the batter's box by that kid who couldn't pitch for anything and he just hit you, you'd hear that voice, shake it off. And I'm thinking, I don't think he means do the twist. What he means is keep going. We don't quit because we got hit. We're resilient. That's what a missionary looks like. Those characteristics, that's who we are. All right. So let's finish. We have the great commandment. Love God, love people. That Matthew 22, 37 to 40. You can look that up when you get home. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the greatest commandment. And the second commandment is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets are all summarized in this. Love the Lord. Love people. That's our commandment. So now, if I'm a believer, I'm a light, I'm a city on a hill, I should be obvious to everybody that I love the Lord. Now, I've got a commandment to do something with it. I can't hoard it all to myself. We're not supposed to be the kind of Christians that get all we can and can all we get. Keep it for myself. No, share it. Share it. Look at the letter A. Every Christ follower has a method. There's a way to be the light of the world. Everything begins. Let's read the passage, Ephesians. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We all have a gift. Now you can say to yourself, oh, preacher, I don't have a gift. I can't sing. I can't do anything. That's not true. You may think you can't, but God's gifted you. It may be that you're that quiet, small voice that people come to for just a little bit of advice. Everything begins with prayer and fasting. We have to be spiritually available to the Lord. Understanding and contextualizing the gospel. That's a big fancy word. It contextualizing. I promise you, I didn't pick that word. I had to look it up. What it's talking about is making the gospel relevant. Helping people understand it. Come to know it. We use a system around here called the Discovery Bible Study. Basically, it's very simple. You read a scripture and you ask yourself, what's that tell me about God? You can answer that question after you've read the scripture. You don't have to go to the theology class. Read a scripture and ask yourself, what's that tell me about God? Then ask yourself, what's that tell me about me? That's the Discovery Bible. That's how we help others to contextualize the gospel. We also have to listen to our community. That just means pay attention. The two guys who walked right past the guy who had been robbed and beaten, they weren't listening. They didn't even want to look. They crossed the other side of the road to avoid helping that man. But the Samaritan was listening. He was looking for opportunities. We watch for folks who need our help. Maybe it's just a hello. I moved down here from St. Louis. And I tell you, one of the greatest blessings I love about living here is how friendly you people are. I say you because I'm still learning. Because in St. Louis, if you make eye contact, they're going to shoot you. So you don't make eye contact. Down here, folks look for an opportunity to say, how you doing? And that's what we should do as disciples. We're just looking for an opportunity to help somebody. Just pick up what they're trying to live. Push what they're trying to push. Listen when they're hurting heart. We listen to our community. We engage our community. We're not afraid of people. And we make disciples and multiply. Now that part's where everybody gets a little nervous. What do you mean I make a disciple? Do I get Play-Doh? What are we doing? No. What we're talking about is helping someone else discover what we discover about what a disciple looks like and how he behaves. That's all. You can share it one-on-one. You can have a class in your living room. You can help people discover discipleship any way you want to. Now, the Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. You've heard that. You know that. The bottom line is this. A disciple lives out the great commandment by following the Great Commission. That's it. We live out the commandment. We are who we are by following the Great Commandment. Now I want you to hang on to your car. Can you do that for me? Keep this as a reminder of what we're doing this year. We would like to make this an emphasis this year that many of us would take discipleship seriously. Many of us would own up to who we are. We're a city on a hill. We're a light. So let's let it shine. Let's let it shine. So here's the next step. We have an opportunity to come into what we call a discipleship huddle. It's just four or five folks meeting once a week for an hour, and we talk about these characteristics I went through with you. A vibrant follower, a 2 a.m. friend, courageous life giver, and a resilient missionary. We talk about what that looks like from Scripture. I lead these sessions, and I would love to invite you to come be in one. Now, it's going to take a while because it's only about 5 or 6 folks at the most. And so we have to limit who can come. But I would love for you to come and sit and share together. Let's learn this together. How to be who we are. How to let Jesus shine. So you have that opportunity. And after that, we can talk about the Missionary Pathway Huddle, where we can teach you how to go, be sent. But first, let's just learn what it means to be a disciple. So I want to invite you on your connection card. You can mark on the back of it, if I can get mine out of here. Oh. Oh, I thought you could mark on it. You can't mark on it. Okay. Third box. Huh? Third box. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. On the back at the top, where it says, I want to be baptized. I want to receive daily devotions. I want discipleship training. Circle that. Put a check in the box, and I'll get with you. And we'll work on it together. It's important that we become who God's called us to be. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your grace. Thank you for a call upon our lives. Thank you for a purpose to our life and a meaning. And so we pray that you will empower us to trust you today and stay in step with your Spirit. We pray that if those are here who have never had their heart open, that today might be the day. Touch our lives as we hear from you. Lead us from this point in Jesus' name. Let's pray together as we have been taught to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve. I was really wondering what to get you for Christmas, but now I know. A little button would be good. It's good to be together, the family can laugh and joke and... Trust me, the office, they get me plenty. Sometimes I want to preach. Well, first of all, I don't even need to see if you want to check to be baptized. God did that today with the sprinkle today. But I really appreciate you guys holding out for that. Some people say, ask, like, where's the money go when we give? Well, let me just tell you, there's over about $10,000 of sound equipment up here. And this rain, this salt air, this sand kills it. And that's why I was running around debating whether we were going to move or not, because one, it's really hard on equipment. Two, I didn't want to see Steve get shocked. I saw him shake. Shocking might be worse. And so, you know, those were concerns. But thank you for staying and leaning in. And that's a great witness, because other times we've had drizzles and the whole beach all of a sudden just disappears. So, but that's where our offerings do. They go to supply to support the ministry. And, you know, this equipment is not inexpensive, and it just wears out fast because of the beach. So in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope. It's an opportunity that you can be part of that. That's in your worship, you help support what is feeding you and feeding others. We are grateful for all who come, and for us, we broadcast online. And we do it on our website and Facebook and YouTube. And man, the message continues to go around the world during the week and even today. So thank you for your part in that support of the ministry here. We're very grateful for that. We cannot do what we do without people like you that just respond to God's love and are good stewards of what He's given you. And you you pour fruit and seed so the gospel can continue to go out. Also in your worship folder, as Steve alluded to, that connection card. And again, I'll just highlight that discipleship training, a great opportunity. We really have a great tool for you to go through that you're going to keep at. This is not something we ever fully achieve. We never get it perfectly. You know, these are things that I look at every week and look at my life and say, how am I doing these things? How is this being? God, how are you growing this? Where am I dropping the ball? You know, I had some people knock at my door this Christmas Eve and right before Christmas Eve. And I might have could have had a little bit more compassionate conversation. Just want my little reflection there of like, hey, let's speak truth, but maybe with a little bit more love in that time, that process. So, you know, that's what's great about it. You really learn this tool, and it helps you to continue on this journey that we're all on. And we all go through these stages and places and times. So with that, also to take next steps, you see our normal worship schedule is printed there. We're going to start a new series next week called Grounded in Grace. And it's really just kind of grounding us to the grace of God on the journey that He has for us, where that journey is this next year. And really getting refined and leaning into what is our purpose and calling. And so I invite you for that series in January. Also, our partnership class, there's an opportunity to say, hey, I want to get a little more connected. I want to see if you'd like to be part of this ministry. What's it about? What makes it tick? What they think? And so you kind of lean into part of it. It's a one-hour class. And if you decide after that, no commitment, but you can decide to become more of a partner here at Helping the Beach Church. We do have life groups that will be starting up in January. As part of having 2 a.m. friends all around you, doing a DBS is what the Discovery Bible Study Method together. And really just sharing life upon life. One of the most beautiful things I keep saying is that the ministry that happens in those life groups is amazing. And it's a testament to the many people here, just people using their gifts, caring for one another, doing life together, and helping each other out. Nobody is an orphan or an island. We are all connected in Christ, and we live that out together. Lastly, you see opportunities for women's ministry, a great fellowship time, and then also the men's breakfast. Iron sharpened iron, time to come and get together, guys, in a sort of a casual setting, but a serious about caring and getting into Word and just sharing each other's stories a little bit. There'll be a presenter, and that is always encouraging and uplifting, and it's great to get together and enjoy some fellowship and food, too. So with that, as we continue our worship together, the ushers will come around with a bucket. You can place your connection card and your offering in that bucket as we continue to worship Him. So I invite you to rise as we lift up our voices and sing.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. Wild fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. God, we thank You for the grace that You gave us, Lord, when we don't do it right, Lord. You're always there with grace for us, God. May we always extend that same grace to those around us, Lord. As you leave here today, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.